This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Choose the most unusual matches. Choose the best of the WWF. Choose wrestling's biggest, smallest, and strongest. Choose Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Roddy Piper's greatest hits, and wrestling's bloopers, bleeps, and body slams. Choose George the Animal Steel. Choose the Ken Patera story. Choose the life and times of Captain Lou Albano. Choose the Hulkamania series. Choose the Ultimate Warrior. And choose Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. Choose WWF World Tour, Smack and Wacko, and UK Rampages 91, 92 and 93. Choose a journey back in time. Choose seeing your video. It's time for everyone to dust off the VCR and plug it back into the television set as we take a trip into the Colosseum Home Video Vault with your host, Rory McNamara.
And joining me in the tinsel-clad attic today for our seasonal special, we have our own British Bulldogs, and yes, that's a clue. First up, we have Mr. Ben Locke, who has been the Dynamite Kid in these parishes before. Ben, how are we?
I'm good, Rory. I feel like I should be doing some sort of wacky impression here, but I really need to save my voice for that for later, so... other Christmas events, I'm going to...
You fucking should
be. I fucking will be later and all that.
Thanks, Jack. And Callum McDougall, who has been Dusty Rhodes.
Hey, baby.
No good way.
Good evening. Good evening, gentlemen. Pleasure to be back.
Great to have you all. Because today, everybody is our second... All right, Ben. All right. somebody's been at the Harvey's Bristol Cream already.
Oh, God, no. Bailey's.
Straight to the Advocar, I bet, Ben. Come on, admit it. Anyway, today, everybody, is our second Christmas edition, as I'm sure you've worked out, watch along, and our second with our gaze fixed firmly upon this green and pleasant land of ours, as we will be working our way through the tape The British Bulldogs, as found in the home video classics section of the WWE Network, and God knows where, on Peacock. Gentlemen, I think it prudent for us to crack right into this videotape. What do you think?
Oh, no time like the present.
Absolutely not. So if you are on the WWE Network, and hopefully you have this ability on Peacock as well, the British Bulldogs tape from October the 15th, 1986. Just search it. Hopefully the search will do you good. I doubt it will. But if you do find it, we are naught minutes and 1 second in. We've got the starry intro that I've become so accustomed to in the course of this project. And gentlemen, I think we're all ready to begin.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
One, two, and three will play. One, two, three. I really do like this intro, you know.
In a galaxy. Pro wrestling
began 5,000 years ago when civilization was young. To honor the gods, to honor the kings, and to train their soldiers. They should bring this back.
In a galaxy far, far away, there was wrestling.
There was NXT 2.0.
Was this Starscape used for WrestleMania 6? Hopefully getting through this won't be an ultimate challenge.
Nice Colosseum there.
I love this intro. So there's Gorilla with a knee lift. Brings back memories for you, Mr. Locke.
You've paid your debt.
That's well in the art. We're never going back to it. Don't worry. Cream and
oh, there's, as I say, there's Ken with his amazing white hair.
Black and white footage here.
That Ricky Dozan? Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's the mask guys again. Was that a shot of Ricky Dozan? I think it might have been.
Well, very well could have been.
We've had
a sighting of Jimmy Snuka, so you know that this there's only one way to describe this intro. Or two words, Superfly. No, no, it's a killer intro. It's a killer intro.
Hey! Oh. You left us hanging on that one, Callum, for a while, but in the end you didn't disappoint, but just for a second there. And Gina in the
Gene here looking back. Me, Gene here looking magnificent.
Look at that pate. Turn down the contrast on my laptop a bit here, I think. What match is that in the background, what? Gentlemen? Who's that in the white? That's definitely Hogan.
Is that Orndorff? It looks like it, yeah.
I'd go Orndorff. By the way, how sweaty is Gene in this?
Having worked my way through a few of these already, these were bashed out in one afternoon, so he's probably feeling the heat.
Is that he's aspiring a lot there.
And I'll be feeling the heat later again tonight, ladies. Ho, ho, ho.
The last thing I watched with Callum was Gene being a lecherous old man. So, you know, we need to carry that tradition on, I think.
Oh, yeah, that was something.
What was that? Was that Battle Bowl?
Battle Bowl Night Battle 3 Bowl, mate, with Gene and Fifi.
And look at her now.
Well,
her husband avows himself more and more every day.
Yeah. I was about to say, the lecherous old man is very much her type.
Of course, Ric Flair's worst crime these days, he capitalizes the first word on every letter on his tweets. It takes effort to do that.
Well, no, that's not quicker in any way, shape, or form.
It's really not.
Because you actually have to spend
Teams, it's lowercase all the way, believe me.
And you actually have to make sure it's in uppercase. It's automatically in lowercase anyway. Apart from the first letter. Oh, Nikolai looking great.
Bulldogs and Iron Sheik versus Iron Sheik and Volkov for our first match. I've done some pre-research for this one, gentlemen, so you know this isn't a special relations show.
I'm glad one of the
October 85 for this one.
Excellent.
Cool, oh, nice shot right on the booby.
Yeah.
I was going to say there's a lot of missiles coming into the ring here.
This is 80. Well, bloody hellfire! Hello.
My goodness. That's like Bash the Beach 96.
That's where they got it from.
So what did you say? October 85?
This is October 85, yeah.
Now, bearing in mind who's in this match at this point in time, how quick do you think it took MSG crowd to start chanting USA, USA?
I hope anybody who's watching with the sound up will be hearing that chant right now.
We are missing out on Gorilla and Jesse on commentary, though. That's unfortunate.
When I grab the audio for the intro, I'll make sure to watch it all again with the audio. I have actually seen this taped before. Have you viewed it at any time in your past, gentlemen?
I'll be honest,
no.
I watched it once about 20 years ago.
It's almost as if it's like, that's your gimmick or something.
Follows me around like a paw. All I was going to say was,
and I don't know why I've never watched it, because the Bulldogs are one of my favourite tag teams. So, that's just not my country bias coming in. They are genuinely one of my favourite teams.
Oh, I think you're in good company there. No matter where in the big old wide cosmos, people will make the opinion. But yeah, I saw this once in about January, February 2001, when I glommed onto the sole other wrestling fan at university, because that's what you do, don't you? And he had a VCR machine as well in his room, along with a TV. I'm not sure he necessarily informed most nice people at the TV licensing company, but never mind. I've got more important things to do. So, and we went to Cash Converters, again, like you do, on one cold January day. And we went halves on the two WWF videos we saw, which was this, and I think one of the Hulkamania tapes.
I'm just imagining the posters in the room, the bong being passed around, and
a bit late for that. No, I never dabbled in any of that. Oh no, it was all Asda Asda Extra Pills the Lager for me was my sole vice during the first year of
university. I was gonna say Snakebite and Black, but
I couldn't even afford to put Snakebite and Black together.
Or even a cheeky Vinter, you know.
$2.29 for four cans of Asda Extra Pills the Lager was all I could stretch to. And there
I will say,
that wasn't even frozen. Yeah, just think about that.
And look at us now. We can all afford thingy. We can all afford the your nicest cans of craft lager out of Tesco and Asda. And we're still going. Well, I personally, I'm still going for the £2.50 six pack out of Aldi.
Galahad.
Well, we all love a bargain when we see one.
No, absolutely. If you can get 24 cans of anything for a fiver, it doesn't matter what it tastes like.
I have 10 cans of Saint-Étienne beer from Aldi just glaring at me from across the room.
Although, of course, gentlemen, as we all know, there is a clause to that rule. Unless it's Carling, otherwise you're just drinking piss water.
Oh, that doesn't count. Doesn't count. I would struggle to even call Carling a drink, let alone an alcoholic drink.
I can come and go in Carling. I don't particularly... It's never my first choice. It's like the bottom rung of choices, but I would still have that over Foster's.
You'd be better off pouring hot water into a tub of Lion's Golden Syrup, shaking it up for 5 minutes, putting it in the fridge. Believe me.
I would have a pint of Carling before I had a pint of Foster's, and before I would have a pint of Carlsberg.
Now, Carlsberg's just pure gas. Pure gas. Horrible stuff.
I remember we stayed in a hotel in Blackpool once, me and mate, and it was like all they had on tap was either Carlsberg, Carling, or Guinness. It was a proper, like, Sophie's choice. It was like, I don't want to be drinking Guinness at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
A bit of a proto choke slam there from Nikolai.
Yeah.
So let's get to the big question. So what are the Bulldogs back is,
good question.
I think when we did the...
Before we get too tangential, when we did the
GWWE tag teams, I think I had them... Sure, they were in the top 20.
You see, I didn't do that one, but I would have struggled not to put them top 10.
I was about to say, I didn't do that one. I'd have them top 10.
I'm trying to think who was in my top 10. I had the Hardys first. Then
I can get that. I think I would have done two, in all fairness.
I had the Hardys, yes. Then the Usos, and then I think I had... Now, showing my age here as well, I think I had Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys quite high up on the list.
I don't doubt I would have done the same.
I had the Hart Foundation and the Rockers definitely top 10.
Look at
the Bulldogs couldn't have been that far behind. I think they even might have been top 10.
Well, you know, the Usos would have been lucky to have broke the top 30 if I was doing it. But the Hardys would have been my number one, though. The Hardys would have been my number one.
I think so.
And because I love them that much, I would have had the bar very high, if not in the top 10, very damn close to it.
I think in 30 years' time, when I open up seeing your documentary, we can do the Twist of Fate Hardys one. Revisit this conversation.
And I'm not sure exactly when it was done, but I tell you now, DIY would have been pretty damn close to that top 10 as well.
It was 2018, I think.
So that would have been
2019 was WCW. No. All the years just blend into one for me now.
So last year was WCW match. No. Match. The year before that was WWE match. It would have been 2000. Yeah.
I think if I'm being honest, it would have been the Bulldogs would have been about, let's say, I'm going to go number 8.
Very specific. Oh, have we got a win here?
Yeah,
I think we do.
We have.
And still the stuff gets piled into the ring.
But
maybe they were chanting USA.
That ref's got a great perm going on.
Oh, that's a monster. Yeah, there you go. Born in the USA sign getting on camera just at this point.
I'm just trying to have a look. I'm on placetobination.com just now. I am trying to find who pulled together. I'm trying to find the GWWE tag team list.
Oh, hello.
Oh, here we go.
Hello, 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 hello.
It's Britta.
Britta. Now we are talking. Landover, Maryland, in the same one. Autumn.
Brett wearing the rare blue and black tights.
It was his attire at this time, wasn't it? I think he wore it at WrestleMania 2, the Battle Royal. I think they're in blue then, the Hearts.
I think they would have been, yeah. Very early. It's very early. Well, both attires very early, these guys, because after that, the Bulldogs. No. When did the Bulldogs go to the white with the Union Jack on their bum?
Did they do that at WrestleMania 2?
I want to say possibly.
I think they might have done.
Get the replay in early here.
A bit of a slingshot, and why not? Cool, lovely, lovely talk on that. I do like the isometric view of the ring here.
Yes.
Proto Fire Pro. Or FIFA International Soccer, I suppose, as well. God, the rest are still doing ridiculous.
Look at this, just a simple tile just takes just that with that intensity.
Just look at it. I know it's the little things. When people turn to Brett and say, oh, he's overrated and boring, or completely out of bollocks, just actually try watching. Look at the speed. Yeah, I know. Probably best choice of word there, but dynamite. Everything he does, just the snap. Looking up for this suplex right here. You know, even just a quick shimmy of the... Oh, look at that, man. So far ahead of his time. I'm still not convinced we've caught up even yet.
Well, look at that. Special relations. Part GWWE match reveal. Part 2 of question mark.
Do you mean the one that took 10 hours to do? That one that we don't really talk about that often?
The very one. Presenting the most complete form.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's rare that happens mid-match. You normally get that right at the start of these things. And then we get a cut and a clip anyway. Boo.
Right, guys. I have done my totally unscientific tag team ranking, if you'd like to hear my top 10.
Go for it.
So, as you know, I don't just base things on match quality. We're talking entertainment. We're talking the whole package, yeah? So at number 10, I'm saying that with a proviso at number 10, I have put in the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, I can see that.
What they meant to tag team wrestling. So number 10, the Outlaws, 9, the Revival, 8, the Bulldogs, I've kept them at 8, 7, the Rockers, 6, the Bar, because I love them that much, the Dudleys at 5, Hearts at 4, Edge and Christian at 3, New Day at 2, Hardys at 1. And I've probably forgot somebody, but I just very quickly just did a list off the top of my head.
I forgot about the New Day. I've definitely got
the
New Day. Choice.
The Bar are the standout choice for me there. Interesting. How long were they a team for, the Bar? I don't even think it was full 2 years, was it?
No.
About a couple of years.
They were around for a good time, not a long time.
There was that match they had with Ambrose and Rollins, though, which that's just one of the greatest matches I've ever seen.
Was that the 2 out of 3 falls match?
That's the new... was it? I'm trying to think. Oh, was it No Mercy, wasn't it? I'm just trying to... Let me have a look.
Was it a 2 out of 3 falls match they had with Rollins and Ambrose, had with Drew and Ziggler?
Dolph, yeah, that's a great one as well.
I think Rollins and Ambrose ranked pretty high, because obviously they would get a lot of the Shield run as well. I cannot find the list for the life of me on the website. Let's try that.
That's a big old slam.
Oh, I love it.
Who's the ref there? Looks like Kid Jensen.
Gotta love Ash Hogan references sometimes.
Looks like Kid Jensen and Mike Smith. Attack of the Radio 1 Drive Time DJs. The late lamented Mike Smith now, I should say.
Yes.
David Jensen's still very much with us. I always like Brett's arm cut there where he pushes the shoulders down. I always like that. He's a little on the chunky side here, isn't he, Mr. Hitman?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's that whole thing of Dynamite's just got way too much muscle for that body.
Well, quite.
Yeah, Brett's done a great job just being the ring marshal he is.
Mm-hmm. Even at this point, even though there's still much better to come, you can more than see it here. Just imagine if we've got a proper full-length match between these two. a little later in Brett's career. There must be some stuff from Stampede knocking around, you'd think, wouldn't you?
You'd think they'd be able to buy it. Although they can't at the moment. No. Remember, they haven't got the budget. That's why they keep cutting things. They haven't got the budget to buy anything.
Cool, nice backslide. Oof.
But do you remember they had Stampede stuff on the network for a hot
they
minute?
Did, and then yeah.
They did. Brett, because Brett owns it.
Yes, he does.
Or Brett owns, sorry, I think Brett owns everything Stampede related that he's on.
Oh, okay.
Something to do with that. Which is why...
So he owns his likeness and that kind of thing.
I think so, which is why I think the Heart and Soul DVD is now no longer on there, and which is why, for anyone who's listened to the latest Special Relations, the Greatest Rivalries wasn't on, because I think it had Stampede footage in it.
There's about 20 seconds of it in the first bit, but it does get on there, yeah.
So anything that he's got, they've whipped off.
Yeah, that's why the Best There Is, Best There Was, Best There Ever Will Be documentaries not on there as well. And I presume the Dungeon Collection too. In fact, there's a match against Dynamite on there now I think about it. I really need to watch that set again at some point, the Dungeon Collection. But there's some Undertaker, Ric Flair, really, really interesting stuff. Although, as often with these unreleased sets, it runs out of steam a bit on the third disc. And you know, it's got like Jean-Pierre Lafitte from In Your House 3 and the Patriot from In Your House Ground Zero. Not really interesting. Like the Hulk Hogan unreleased set, all disc 3 is just matches from Nitro. Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's technically unreleased, isn't it? But no, you're not having that. There's the diving.
Rory says so, god damn it.
There was a very good unreleased set they did. It was 86, I'm looking it up here, 86 to 95.
I still need to watch that. I need to get hold of that.
There is some really interesting matches. So there was the Undertaker against...
Oh, right, at this point, even.
Was it the Undertaker against the Warrior in a casket match or something?
Oh, wow, okay.
There was some good stuff. There was a match where Shawn and Brett team up together after an Action Zone taping or something. Yeah, there it's there. Ultimate Warrior vs. The Undertaker, a casket match from August the 19th, 1991.
Oh, blimey, okay. Shortly before SummerSlam 91. Hmm, interesting.
Ric Flair against Hulk Hogan from November the 12th, 1991. From Springfield, Massachusetts.
Wow. That must have been their first match. I've got to be close to it.
Yeah. So there's some. The Tasmaniac versus Scott Taylor. Now that is one I want to see.
Oh, I got him right in the head with that knee. Fucking hell.
Tasmania, whatever happened to him?
Two ladder.
Scott
two
Taylor now no longer affiliated. Scott Taylor asked for his release the very week we're recording this. After 30 years with the company. Two ladder matches.
Two Jeff Jarrett ladder matches for the IC title.
Oh, God, okay.
May 16th, 1995 from Danbury, Connecticut against the British Bulldog. They're all time back. And June the 5th, 1995 against Razor Ramon.
Ladder match against the Bull. That's...
Jarrett and the Bulldog in a ladder match. Sean and Brett versus Jerry Lawler and Hakushi. And Diesel versus...
Oh, baby, okay.
On the same show from St. Louis, Missouri, it was after a TV taping, so they had that as a dark match, and then Diesel versus Yoko in a cage for the title.
Oh, God.
It was like 8 minutes. I don't remember it being too bad. But,
no longer than 8 minutes. Oh, no, there
we go.
Well, we were showing a replay of the shit canning. Nearly the stop. Okay, yeah, the clipping didn't help that one in more ways than one, but I think we got enough there to just as an appetizer for a match we're not going to see any more of. But I'm thinking best match honours might be already sorted out to you, gentlemen.
I think you could be right there.
Yeah, you could just see it, can't you? God, it's really quite terrifying. Look at Dynamite and how much. Oh, hang on, here we go. I'll hold that thought. I believe we go straight into our next match here.
Jim's looking quite svelte.
He's almost. Yeah, here we go. A good few years before ECW did it, we go straight into the next match from a running.
Hey, you Anvil, get the fuck off me, big cousin.
So you are David Boy Smith. Heyman accuses Vince of stealing his idea. Oh, with a clip, of course. Yep, there we go. Davey Boy versus Neidhart. I think this one might be a slight dip in quality. Oh, nice sideburns, Davey, my boy. Oh, my word. God, he looks like just like shaky in that picture. Kissing the Christmas.
I told you to save those sideburns.
I know that this very year, 1985. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, well, as long as he doesn't start doing that on this old house, we're fine.
Snow is falling all around.
Children playing. Yes, again.
'Tis the season, love and understanding. Yeah, it's all there, you know.
Was it on
Davey Boy sings the hits.
Was it on the Christmas episode last year that I realised that it was broken to me that Davey Boy isn't actually from Leeds, but he's from Leeds because he is a Bulldog?
I believe I told you that.
One of you ventured that theory, yes. I'm not sure it's been proven in the last 12 months. I still stand as impressed by it as I did then, though. Because I'd never made the connection before then. Somebody out there's got to know.
Well, that was always my... to be fair, it's a guess, but it was an educated guess.
I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to, because podcast legends can be. But it's a leash in America, isn't it? They wouldn't get the reference.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'm thinking about it now. Who exactly in the WWF would have that brain to even do that joke or do that connection? Well, I can't imagine Bruce or Jerry or Pat going about talk about Leeds.
I'm not so sure Davey Boy himself would be able to make that connection, to be honest. What are you talking about? Like I always say, I'm very glad I managed to get onto the mothership and emphasise the comments made by Alfred Hayes on that one when he announced Davey Boy's real hometown.
Wigan, is it not?
Gorton. Wigan is close enough.
was about saying, in later years, it was always Manchester, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we obviously didn't know, because changing from Leeds to Manchester just like that, unexpecting no kickback.
I mean, but thinking about it, you know, if he's a proud Lancastrian lad, like saying he's from Yorkshire in the first place.
Well, that's what I mean. I think he's just asking for it there, isn't he?
He really is.
But then he was the hometown boy in Birmingham. The guy's obviously got an identity.
That really does annoy me. Makes it into Sean's first book. Davy Boy was from Birmingham. Ah, no, he wasn't. The Shawn Michaels My Journey DVD. Davy Boy was from Birmingham. Ah, no, he wasn't.
Close enough.
You mean...
Not to say you should have lost him, of course, but that's another story.
He's closer to Birmingham than Roddy Piper's hometown is to Glasgow.
I'll give you that.
Whoa. Are you trying to tell me, Sear, that something that Shawn Michaels said from the 90s isn't factually accurate?
It's something he said from the 2000s.
Oh, so I'm just going to have to clear my head for a second here, boys.
He can't fall back on that. I don't know if I did say that, but if I did, I might have done, because I did say all sorts of things then on that occasion.
If Brett says I did, then I probably said it. Who are you talking to? Brett's not here.
And if you haven't, then definitely everybody listen to the special relations from last week now. Some much needed context point there.
We have had some good feedback on it, so thank you very much to everyone who's listened and reached out.
Yes, thank you everybody.
Yes.
One of our very finest, I think.
Proves that we can do series sometimes.
Probably unconnected to the one we're going to drop on Christmas Day. Oh yes, Christmas Day itself. Yeah. What else would you be doing?
Yeah.
All fucking tying together.
See, I mean, this is the thing our American listeners won't realise, but actually for us, like being on Christmas Day is actually quite a big deal in this country.
It really is. We're going to be there rubbing shoulders with Lizzie 2 and the Doctor Who special, and what else is going out on Christmas Day this year? Call the Midwife special, probably.
All the soaps do the big Christmas Day, so somebody be dying or getting married or something. You know,
Strictly Come Dancing special that was recorded back in September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember Vince Cable was on the Christmas edition a few years ago? Vince fucking Cable on the Christmas.
I do not. But I remember Fabrice Muamba was on it one time. This was less than a year after he had his heart attack on the pitch, and he was doing a samba. I'm like, oh, slow down, do like a waltz or something, pal.
But he truly is a legend, Fabrice Muamba. He's an inspiration to us all.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't think we'd be talking about him today, but I'm glad we have half an hour in.
I mean, there's a rhyme time right there. Fabrice Muamba doing a samba.
Oh, very nice. You're a poet and don't you know it. Oh, don't end there. Please don't end with a slingshot to the buckles. Oh, come on.
To be fair, I didn't mind the pinfall because his knee was right on his kisser.
Yeah, that's true.
But to have a VHS highlighting a defeat is quite strange.
Especially in the first three matches. You stick one of those you put those one of those in the death slot in the penultimate match. You don't have them doing the job. Especially in a nothing match to Neidhart. You know, just because it followed on from the previous one. Continuity watchers wouldn't have cared that much.
I was going to say, you put it in, going back to one of the ones we've watched before, you put it in the Dino Bravo Hitman slot, but then I'm thinking, seeing the Dino Bravo Hitman match as the death slot is probably a bit on the nose. But they didn't even show any of those matches out of order, because remember we were ping-ponging back to the same show. We went to the same show in Sheffield three times.
Thanks for the reminder of that one. Back in the archives, everybody, if you want to suffer along with us. Yeah, an early version of the Finlay pin there from Neidhart. I'll give him credit there. Well, Finlay was probably doing it himself at that point. Oh, my goodness me. The Bulldogs teaming up with Captain Lou.
Jesus.
Great Valentine, Bruce Beefcake. It's just Johnny V. Oh, look at him there. He's definitely been at the Scrambled Eggs Grandma. With New York helpfully emblazoned on his arse. Oh, we talked about the Union Flag earlier.
Oh, I'm getting cold sweats. Just coming out of chill. Anyone called Valiant on a podcast that I'm watching.
And how magnificent is it to see the MSG microphone just hanging
there?
Oh,
look at it, just swinging in. Look at that. If everybody didn't call everything bloody iconic these days, I'd call that iconic, I tell you.
I want that. I think, is it too much to ask that if Howard Finkel is in the, if he's got a banner at Madison Square Garden, which he should have, I want that hanging next to the Howard Finkel banner in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's too much to ask.
Oh, here comes Captain Lou. Not the first time we've seen him in the ring, Ben. Yep, there you go. I brought it up again.
glad he's come dressed for the occasion.
I reckon this one was rather swiftly booked for some reason.
He's got that Cyndi Lauper video to record straight after this.
I remember.
He just took it on the Mario garb.
I remember listening when I listened to Bruce Pritchard's podcast before it just started to become a bit shit. They talked about Captain Lou Albano. They were talking about something in 1995 or 1994 or something. And they just basically, Captain Lou would just turn up randomly to shows whenever they were in the area and want to get on camera. So Pat Patterson would send them. Pat Patterson would send him to Gorilla and saying that Bruce has got something for you. So Albano would go up to Bruce Pritchard when he's doing when he's in the Gorilla position and just go, right, what do you want me to do? And he's like, nothing. We've got nothing for you. What are you talking about? He goes, well, Pat told me you've got something to do. And they would just send him out to talk, like, to talk to somebody and tell him he was going to be on the telly. And then they would just cut it out when it came to air because he'd never watched the show. He would never know different.
Well, he did those random things during, like, Raws, I'm thinking, like, before he went with Edge, because anyway, he was just sort of slapping hands with the crowd and all that.
They would just do that because he would randomly turn up.
That's what I mean. So that story does sound right, to be fair.
Yeah.
I can well believe it. This is from just before WrestleMania 2, I should say. Go, Brutus.
Luscious Johnny V there with New York on his arse.
And the three stars as well. He's thought about this one. Trousers pulled up over the gut. We all know that trick, don't we, gents?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Coming to a Christmas night out near you, hopefully soon.
Oh, what a thought. Maybe Christmas parties should be cancelled over after all.
No, I'm going. I'm ready to go. And it's with trousers with three stars down the side of my leg and Glasgow on the arse. Where are you from? Where are you from, pal? Look at my bum. Glasgow.
I can visualise you sauntering down Sorky Hall Street with that can. Why have I got that image? Why is it so vivid? Why is it so believable?
He's going to be doing the sort of John Travolta Saturday Night Fever strut as he's doing it as well.
Doesn't everybody do that at 7 p.m. when they first hit Sorky Hall Street and then doing another very different strut at 7 a.m. the other way down Sorky Hall Street?
They do. If somebody does say, look at my arse, it means different things at 7 o'clock. It seems quite passive aggressive at 3 in the morning. If somebody shouts that at you, run.
Oh, there's the falling tree slam from Greg. Yeah, my memories of my two occasions on Sorky Hall Street, like, not for this podcast, let's say. Probably not for a Christmas edition. I was more observer than anything else. I just want to make that clear. Let's leave it at this, shall we? I never knew vomit could be that colour.
Oh, it could be fucking any colour you want it to be.
There's a little taster for you. And again, not mine. Not mine. Mine was just a normal yellow, obviously.
I remember, not to get too graphic, but one of my pals, we did it one morning, and it was one morning. After a night out, he went to get pakora or a kebab or something.
Of course.
By the time we got home, it was like baby pink. He spewed when he got out the thing, and it was baby pink. I'm like, Jesus, did you just like fucking inhale that sauce.
I've got to say, if you went for a pakora, that's going against the grain a bit. It's normally a kebab or a kebab. I can't say I've ever had a 3 a.m. pakora.
One of the
3 a.m. kebab. Oh, my word.
There's can I whack it? There was one guy that I remember getting. He got chips, cheese, doner meat, and pakora sauce.
Like,
were
they at least cheesy chips?
Yeah, they were cheesy chips. Yeah,
which is just a slab of cheddar next to it. As well.
I know it's not one of these things. Is it on that footy food or footy scran that you see, and it's just like £4.50 for chips and a fucking daily slice on top.
Boo. Nice name breaker. Yeah, how do you stand on that, Ben? A pakora at 3 a.m. It's got to be a kebab, hasn't it?
I think kebab or a pizza. I think that's about it.
That's a good shout. Yeah,
the core is far too high brow for.
Yeah.
Now, is it a pizza from a kebab shop? Because we've had this discussion. They're very different things.
Yes.
Whilst we are here, I think we should tell like our American friends do not know what a kebab shop is and the many delights that you can get from there. Usually at 2 o'clock on a Friday or a Saturday evening.
Kebabs, pizzas, and pakoras and cheese, as I've just learned here as well.
Now, Sean, I know you'll be listening at some point, and Sean has said or threatened that he's going to come over to the UK at some point. Bringing his shit takes international. So Sean, when you land, one of us will meet you, or all three of us will meet you at the airport, and we'll take you to the kebab shop. Your life will change.
Oh, could you imagine us taking Sean, and Sean will probably bring his good lady with him as well. Oh, it'll be an international taste sensation.
It will be.
It'll be okay for him. However, if he starts getting a little bit leery and starts dropping Savage Steamboat here and WrestleMania 17 there, we might need to pile in on his behalf, everybody. You've probably heard about British closing time violence. That ain't nothing for a kebab shop at 3 a.m. And that definitely ain't nothing when kids dropping a shit take around.
What was that?
Was it a sit-out pile driver? Fucking hell.
Well, it started as a butterfly suplex or like a pedigree, didn't it?
And then... Fuck it. I love Valentine so much. He's just tough as old boots and still looks exactly the same. And the wind-up elbow. There we are.
How many times on commentary do you reckon... I was going to say, how many times on commentary do you reckon Gorilla has mentioned that line in some form?
I'm hoping 15. Wait a minute. Look at this workhorse right here.
Oh, hello. Fat boy. Get out the ring, fat boy.
That could apply to a lot of people, but okay.
Big fat slubby pig.
Well, that doesn't surprise me one bit. Nice air from Johnny Boy there. Oh my goodness. They were a nice drop kick. He sort of holds back the knee a bit before he does it.
So Johnny V, who hasn't wrestled in God knows how long, has taken a better bump than I have seen Jimmy Fallon doing any 1985 footage I've ever seen.
Let it go, man. This is your safe space.
I know, but you've given me a Valiant match to watch.
I'm pretty sure there's zero Jimmy Valiant on any of these home videotapes.
Well,
it's a very safe bet.
You know, see, if it ever comes to my choice again, I will be doing a thorough inspection to make sure that I don't do anything close. I'm sure there's one, I don't know if it's on the network, but there is one I know that's like a history of the tag team championship. And it's like every tag team championship change from like bit dating back to the early 70s, late 60s. He's definitely on that one. So that's a no-no from me.
I am struggling to think in like the 2 years that I have been here on Place to Nation. I mean, I know I do like a bad wrestling podcast show, but like I'm struggling to think like what was worse, and you two can help me. Like that tape, what was that tape we watched again, Rory? I put it to the back of my head. It was like bad.
Making me mention it. Villains of the Squared Circle.
That was it. It's either I can't quite decide if that was the worst thing I've seen or any of that Houston shit Sean made me sit through.
Oh God, what was that?
It was like, Callum, what was it? Just random Houston house show nonsense?
Yeah, oh, yes. So, I remember now, yeah.
When we were cock-blocked over the summer.
Yes.
But the thing was, right up until that point, the whole reason we did the Houston special was that the Houston match that we had watched were normally quite good.
Oh, you just wait till I come along.
I don't know what happened, Ben. I really don't. I really don't, because it was fucking, it was just awful.
I mean, there was that crazy Dusty Rhodes casket match. That was.
No, that was excellent.
You can see, as we are recording this the night after Cody and Andrade, and you can see where he got his inspiration from, as well as Edge and Foley from WrestleMania 22.
I saw one that, you know, har har har, he brings out a shovel. Wink wink, Cody, aye. But he also, when he lifted the shovel, it was like he's obviously bringing out this golden shovel, and he lifts it above his head and he's expecting a big pop, and the crowd is fucking silent.
I mean, he either needs to go away for a bit or just turn heel in the worst way.
Was it last week?
I'm not sure if he's that too deaf.
Was it last week that... Oh, it must be. Oh, we talked about a previous promo on the special relations, Ben. He is that tone deaf. Surely.
Sorry, Rory. As you know, his good lady wife reappeared last night as well.
Yes. Great.
To the deafening silence of everyone.
To drop a paraphrase from Blackadder, Cody wants to be his father so badly.
Now I've got a PS6er going on here, boys. Oh, bit of do-si-do.
Oh, Dudley! Oh, that was beautiful. Rob the do-si-do into a double drop kick. God, they were fucking good.
These Bulldog guys are quite good, aren't they?
Greg could have broken that and just stood in the corner because you couldn't fall on top of him, you see. Yeah, that was
a
shot.
Look at the crowd, how mental they go for just a random, a random run-of-the-mill six-man tag.
I know.
Involving Lou Albano and Johnny V.
Well, obviously, you know, you spoiled it now, because obviously now. God, he looks like Benoit, doesn't he? Oh, where's the Union flag on the left arse cheek? And getting the win going into the match at WrestleMania 2.
Ah!
Who needs 50-50 booking? Joining this one in progress, I'm afraid. But it's a match I've seen in full very, very many times.
What is it, the thingy? What is it the gorilla calls us? The disaster of Rosemount or something?
Yep, he talked about it for a good 3 or 4 years afterwards, I believe.
We're at WrestleMania 6. We're at WrestleMania 6 and Greg Valentine still hasn't recovered.
Well, look what it sent him spiralling into.
For those who can't remember, of course, this is Ozzy in his peach suit magnificence.
And the fantastic bit of commentary from Mean Gene on this one. It's a line, it just speaks volumes without even knowing it. He says, Ozzy Osbourne is shaking at ringside. Yeah, okay. And he guesses as to why.
So,
I think they call that withdrawal, don't they?
Who had the better promo? Stu Hart after SummerSlam 91, after Brett's match at SummerSlam 91, or Ozzy Osbourne after this match?
It's wonderful. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. British Bulldogs forever.
Ozzy, because at least he's coherent.
And he got the Brummie accent onto 1986 WWF, so I love that.
I just, every time I think of how absurd the Stu Hart one was, I just chuckle. So, hey, Stu, what do you think of that? Oh, it was great. Oh, brilliant. Thank you. Moving on now. Right, back to you, Vince.
There's two things from that interview. One you've just sort of mentioned, which is like Alfred Hayes' total like tone deafness towards actually being sent to him. And B, you think Brett would get better seats than like way back there, wouldn't you? I'm not saying he's going to get front row necessarily, but
sort of by the tunnel.
Right back in the stalls.
Aren't they quite near the MSG tunnel?
Yeah, but even so, you'd think you'd get him a bit closer to ringside.
Did Brett have the pull to do that when he's just about to win the IC title for the first time?
That's why he should have done it. Oh, nice shoulder breaker there.
It's a shame this match isn't on here in full, but it's a go-to match of mine. So it wouldn't make my top 100 or anything, but a comfort food match.
Is that the bit that fucks up his back?
And we're getting to the finish now, I believe.
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck me, what a bump. He absolutely kills him there.
No wonder his back's fucked, man.
I wouldn't be surprised if that played some part in it. Now, the celebration goes and our Dynamite's just fucking dead on the outside. They call that the Anderson sacrifice back in the day. Ozzy's genuinely concerned. Ozzy's kind of like, we'll fucking go on, man.
Sharon! What the fuck's going on?
Colour going on that ring.
I didn't know Ozzy pioneered the salmon suit.
We don't get it. We get, oh, hello.
Meanwhile, Gene seems to have just got into a gym.
What were we saying 40 minutes ago about Gene? We gave him too much credit, everybody. We should just go with our instincts, I'll tell you. Because he's about to go with his, everybody.
Right. Do you guys remember? Right, first of all, did you ever watch Friends back in the day? I don't like to assume.
We still watch it in this house this day.
Excellent. So yes. You will know the bit I'm talking about. Do you remember the first time that Tom Selleck turned up without his moustache?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just didn't look right. Mean Gene is like one of them. That would be Mean Gene. If you ever saw Mean Gene without a moustache, it would just look wrong.
The Bulldog Workout.
Now, I'm just going to have to turn this up here because I get the feeling this should have some sort of mid-80s cheesy music playing. I just need to confirm this fact.
Oh, got to put my arm.
Oh, no.
I've got to put my arm on the Dynamite's cocks in my face.
There's no cheesy action music being played, boys.
That's right, Mean Gene.
Just to let you know, gents, after talking about the beer earlier on, obviously being a Christmas episode, I do have a can of Tennent's with me.
Yes, okay. I'm going to open the set to you in a minute. I notice Davey Boy has brought along his pet budgie for the occasion.
As I say, we're seeing a bit too much of Davey that I really need to see at this point.
Just stick with Matilda, would have been more like it. Was Matilda around at this point? 86? I presume this was recorded especially for Coliseum Video.
It's a Coliseum Home Video exclusive.
Oh, God, over here, baby. Cameras over here, mate. There you go.
I don't know which one of you said that he looks just like Benoit, but even right. Facially, I've never noticed how facially Dynamite looks like Chris Benoit.
It's freaking terrifying.
It's really, really strange.
Now you mentioned that. Yeah.
For two guys that are completely unrelated.
They were watching Dynamite now, obviously, like with the benefit of hindsight and what we know now. I mean, just look how spaced out and drug addled he is at this.
He's in more ways than one. He's just bursting out of his own skin here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all with the benefit of hindsight. You just didn't notice it because everyone else was fucking drug addled at the right same time. Oh,
yeah.
You put them next to Ozzy Osbourne, they look positively normal. Look at the guy in the background. Look at the guy in the background who's doing his workout looking like he's wearing flares.
Looks like he's wearing a Hamzat suit.
When you're going to the nightclub at 8, but you've got to do your workout at 4.
Another random lady just appeared.
Look at Cheetah.
She not only had the body, but she had the 80s of 80s mullet going on as well.
Oh, we're still doing this, are we? Okay.
Bean jeans off to pervert that young woman because he's bizarre.
Dynamite doing his best audition for the So Macho video here.
Oh, God. I have to drop that reference for. You just, okay, yeah, there you go, Ben. Right, when you play this back, that's going to be the closing music.
Okay.
Only you are to blame. Send your letters to...
Are we starting with Merry Christmas, everyone?
I don't think I'm going to have to now, aren't I? I'll open that before Callum drops his dulcet tones for the intro, and I'll end with freaking So Fucking Macho. That was this year, 86, so I suppose it's appropriate.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, there you go. Very timely, then. This segment is still going, gentlemen.
What the hell is that going on behind? What the mother?
I was going to say, what is that guy doing behind? Is he? He's like.
What is that man not wearing?
What? What hasn't he done? Well, got dressed for starters.
That's what Goldust would look like if he got his tet implants.
he's off to the S&M club and or a Frankie Goes to Hollywood video straight after this.
Do you know who it is? It's Brackus.
It could be Brackus.
Our friend with the flares is back as well.
Yes, look, it's Ringo Starr.
Said Thomas.
Them other guys in the background are much more sensibly dressed, apart from this person here with the orange trousers.
That's not Billy Jack Haynes, is it?
In 1986?
He was there. He was at WrestleMania 3.
Could be. Oh, back to camera. Oh,
Billy Jack Haynes was Hinch AF.
Ah.
There we go. And a match. Oh, the Bulldogs versus the Moondogs.
Oh, this wouldn't happen today.
I'm on Cloud K9 watching this one. Yeah,
oh, there we go. Planned.
Right, but anyway, this match was from 1986. And so Callum, you know what this means? It's time. Callum guesses the Scotland World Cup squad members from a certain year. Diddly diddly diddly.
1986.
So, 1986. I have the Scotland World Cup squad for 1986. Their big trip to Mexico right in front of me right now. How many can you name? And Ben, you can help him, I think.
I'll let Callum go though.
How many goalkeepers was there? Two?
Three keepers.
Three keepers. So Jim Leighton would be one of them.
Correct. If you get half of this squad, I'll be very impressed.
Hey, so how many is there? 22.
I think it's 22. 5, 10. Yeah.
Right, so Jim Leighton would be one of the goalkeepers. Probably a bit too late for Alan Ruff. I'm trying to think who would have been the goalkeeper in... Is Ruffy in?
Yep, you got Leighton, you got Ruffy, yep.
Oh, God, Ruffy's in. It'd be too early for Andy Gorham, won't it?
Nope, Andy Gorham was the keeper. He was there as well.
Bloody hell.
You got all three keepers.
Defenders would be Alan Hansen.
No, Hansen did not make the squad.
Willie Miller.
What?
Hansen went in 1990.
Well, you considered it was then. That's just all you need to know.
If Ferguson's the manager, so it'd be full of Aberdeen players. Willie Miller, Alec McLeish.
Yep. Oh, there he goes.
Danny McGrain. Is he there?
No, bit late for him.
John Brown. Too early, might be for him.
No.
You've
got three Dundee United at this point.
Oh, bloody hell. Gordon Strachan would have gone.
Jumping ahead, yeah. Gordon Strachan was in his court. He scored against Jim.
What's the name of that guy? I think he played for
Dundee. Famous goal where he thought it was going to end up in a ravine when he celebrated.
Is it too early for that Malpass fella?
Or it's Malpass. No.
Maurice Malpasta. In the squad, one of the United players.
David Neary.
No, he's there.
David Neary.
He of the he was there. Yep.
Your striker, skipping forward, your strikers would have been Dalglish, be one of them.
No, no, Dalglish wasn't there.
That was too late for that. Too late for Dalglish. Joe Jordan.
He won the double match at Liverpool. So what's that again?
Joe Jordan.
No, he'd gone. He was there in 82.
He was there at 82.
Now I can't remember. I honestly am not that great at this kind of thing. Was Sheedy Scottish? That sounds really bad of me, I know, but
yeah, Kevin Sheedy was Republic of Ireland.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm terrible at this.
Would Souness still have been playing?
Yep, he was there. At Sampdoria at the time, but he was there.
So how many is that? I think I'll be like 7. Richard Gough. He was one of the defenders.
Richard Gough was absolutely there.
Too early for Mo Johnson?
Don't think. No, Mo Johnson may have been playing in France at that point.
I think he was around, but he wasn't in the squad, but he was around at the time.
He certainly was. Try to think.
I think he was at Celtic at the time.
He would have been. He would have been at Celtic, and then he went to, by the time Italian 90 came round, he was at Rangers, I think. Charlie Nick, did he go?
Yes, he was there.
Yeah, Champagne Charlie's got to be there.
Frank McAvaney.
Oh, no.
Frankie Boy not
there.
He was
banging him in for West Ham that season, but he wasn't there, no.
How about McAnally?
Oh, that's a good shout. He'd have been it.
A couple of years away from Bill of Legend. No, he wasn't there.
Too early for Brian McClure.
Yeah, no Chockey. He was still at Celtic at the time, I think, wasn't he? He joined United in 87? This is fucking brilliant. This is absolutely boggled.
We're not
1980, summer of 86. Come on, it works.
Right.
Again, next year, everybody, so get used to it. Well, this time next year, it'll be the Scotland 2022 World Cup squad.
Fucking hell, Billy Gilmore. I've got a question for you guys, just a prediction from you both. When Andy Robertson lifts the cup, will he lift it with his right hand or his left hand?
No. Oh. Get back to the game, Callum.
So strikers. So
they have one world class player, and now you think they're beating everyone. Yeah.
Fuck off. We've got three. Unfortunately, two of them play the same position.
So far, let me tell you who we got so far. You got Andy Gorham, Jim Leighton, Alan Ruff. Got Richard Gough, Maurice Malpass, Alec McLeish, Willie Miller, David Neary. I apologise. Frank McAvaney was there, but he's listed as a midfielder. He was a fucking striker.
He was a striker.
No wonder I missed him. Souness, yep. Strachan, yep. And Charlie Nick as well, yeah. So you're doing okay. I mean, McAvaney had to be there. What is he in the midfielders for?
Is that 11 or 12?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's maybe a bit earlier.
10, so you've got half. You've done well.
11.
Was Pat Nevin in the team?
Amazingly, Patrick's not in the squad. Which is senseless to me, but there you are. This is Ferguson picking it, remember?
Oh, of course. I said the Aberdeen players that I'm still... Matt McGee, was he there?
No, you think he would be there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think I would have guessed him.
And then who did they take with them to Manchester United? Or who was at Manchester United at the same time? Oh no, he wasn't at Man United at this point. He was just about to go. It was a few months there.
Yeah. There were two Man United players in the squad. You've named one of them in Gordon Strachan, and you haven't named the other.
There's somebody, I want to say, is it Charlie Donaghy? There's somebody Donaghy.
Oh, how about Gordon McQueen?
No. Sorry, who, Ben?
Yeah. Gordon McQueen?
No, he'd retired by this point, I think.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Gordon McQueen might actually be the Airdrie manager in 1986. Because he's from Airdrie.
I was going with the Scottish Man United thing. That was
there aren't too many more obvious ones. There's probably one more I think he might have got. We need to get back to normal service when this match has ended, so I'll run through them. And or as you go, because that's the way it is. Arthur Orbison was the other United player.
Oh, I would never get Arthur Orbison.
I thought you might get this one. Yvonne.
Get Arthur Orbison involved in the greatest ever talk sport moment. Why is Antti Niemi never getting back to the Scotland team? Because he's Finnish. No, he's not. He's only 28.
Thank you.
Hey.
And he's on today. And Steve Nicol, who I thought you might have got.
Oh, Steve Nicol. We've mentioned Steve Nicol on this show before.
Yep. On both of our shows.
Yeah.
Mr. Pressman. In midfield, Roy Aitken was in the squad.
Oh, I was going to say Roy Aitken.
Eamon Bannon, one of the 10 million Dundee United players who made it.
Never again. Never even heard of him.
Jim Bett of Aberdeen.
Oh, Jim Bett. I should have got him. He won the cup, winner's cup.
That's the boy in 83. Somebody sadly no longer with us was the Davey Cooper.
Oh, Davey Cooper. Oh, how did I not get Davey Cooper? Oh, for fuck's sake, he scored the goal.
Fantastic.
I watched the highlights of the Wales game. He scored the goal that took them at the World Cup.
Upset.
That's the point.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
They went 21-year-old Paul McStay.
I would never have guessed Paul McStay was in
there. I doubt he would have played any of the matches. Any of the three matches Scotland played. So, sorry, Callum. Had to get that one in while I could. Nicholas. Steve Archibald.
Oh, Steve Archibald.
He was Barcelona at the time. Made up to the European Cup final.
He was the fucking Airdrie manager at one point as well.
It all comes... See, you... Go with your Airdrie instincts.
No.
Make life meaningful. I love. I'm gonna say like, this match thing. I love the blind tag there. Was going over for the crossbody. That was fucking mint. Wasted on this match, and on this discussion really. But two more up front. You had Graham Sharp.
Oh,
that was the Everton guy. That was the Everton guy I was thinking of.
That's an.
You've got the right club team. And somebody who lived on the same street as me for a while. Well, same street as my parents for a while. So whenever I would go down there for the holidays, I'd be. Occasionally bump into this man when he was working down that way as manager of Plymouth Argyle. But then 29-year-old Dundee United striker Paul Sturrock.
Oh, Paul Sturrock. I thought he'd have given it up at that point. I thought he was older. I thought he wasn't yet
30.
Paul Sturrock
always had the salt tire flying in his garden. There you are.
Quite right.
That was the next street up from where my folks lived down in Plymouth when he was manager there.
Paul Sturrock would have been, he was part of the team that got to the European Cup semi final.
UEFA Cup semi final.
Aye, one of them.
It's all the same back then, anyway. There we go.
Dundee United are still, there you go, a bit of useless information. Dundee United are still the only team to have ever beaten Barcelona home and away in a knockout tie. Fucking Dundee United.
Wow.
No wonder they had so many players in the squad.
I think they won the league in 1986.
Or wasn't 86 the season Hearts should have won the double and fluffed it in both?
Yes.
The season where they lost the league on goal difference. And if it had been decided on goal average, they would have actually won it. And the last time they finished joint top or second, if a league had been decided on goal difference rather than goal average, they would have won it then.
Absolutely.
Thanks to my copy of the Times Illustrated History of Football that I fucking read between the years 1996.
And ironically, it was the team that Hearts drew with in the last game of the season to hand Dundee United the championship was Dundee.
Yes, yep. That's all in the article. I need to get that book. That's a fucking great book, that is. So yeah, there we go. So next, we'll do this again next year.
Yeah.
For Scotland's non-existent Euro 88, Euro 88 squad.
We could do the England Euro 88 squad.
I'll do it to you guys for the England Euro 88 squad.
Holy fair.
I think so.
That was actually pretty fucking... England should have got out of the group there, I tell you.
Did you not lose to Ireland or something?
Lost to Ireland in the first game, lost to Marco van Basten in the second game, and then lost to Russia. Or USSR, I should say. Better get that right, but already out by then?
Well, we can do the England Euro 92 squad.
Oh, thank you very much. Tony Daly.
What now?
Not now. Next Christmas. Or the England and Scotland USA 94 squad.
Well, that'll be tough.
The England squad. We could do the Scotland and England squads. Bree Houghton, Jason McAteer.
The island squad would basically be an England squad.
Kevin Sheedy. Oh no, let's Ben, this is definitely not the place to bring up the plastic paddy argument, okay? Another podcast, I think.
Meanwhile, Davey Boy seems to have Greg Valentine like quite spreg-eedled here.
Oh, hello.
No wonder he needs 15 minutes to warm up. 15 minutes and a bit of fiery Jack. What the fuck is going on here?
I was going to say, now we're playing Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Well, that's one way to put it. Is that what they call it in the magazines, Ben? And they say pro wrestling is homoerotic.
I was going to say, is a submission hold that we just don't see that much of nowadays?
I would definitely be submitting in that style, I can promise you that.
Ooh, we are messies.
The safe word would be uttered long before this.
Oh, Rory.
Oh, come on, Ben. That's relatively tame coming from me. regularly spray over these shows. If you aren't listening to me say that, you'd be listening to Glenn Hoddle commentating on a Tottenham match, Ben. Come on.
Oh, that is true.
What's worse, you know?
Glenn Hoddle commentating full stop.
Yeah, he is pretty bad.
I was 6 weeks ago old when I learned and heard, so it wasn't a fever dream, that Glenn Hoddle had covered We Are the Champions.
No.
Maybe that's going to be...
Yes, please. That has to be.
Sorry, Sunita, maybe next time. Maybe we'll do the Simon Cowell special. Yeah, Glenn Hoddle, We Are the Champions. He covered it for the album that came out called Football Forever or some stupid title like that that came up shortly before Euro 96. But I'd never heard of it or heard it until about 6 weeks ago.
Now, that would have been acceptable if it was like the B-side Diamond Lights or something.
Diamond Lights. We're very close to that in time. We're just a few months away.
Is that the Hoddle and Waddle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Glenn and Chris. Come on, get it right now.
Sorry.
Darling, I love you. Damon Lates. Thing is, I understand football club records doing well in the charts because the fans are going to buy them. But who the motherfucking hell bought Diamond Lights in sufficient quantities to get it to number 12 in the charts? You know, a song about them sodding off to Monaco. And Chris Waddle along for the ride because he was still at Tottenham for another one season, I think.
Right, gents, cast your minds back to the heady days of the early 2010s where Steve McLaren was talking in a Dutch accent and Joey Barton was talking in a French accent. How the hell did Chris Waddle ever get on at Marseille? Because he's got a really strong accent.
They loved him there at Marseille.
No.
Oh yeah. He's still a god over there.
Yep. Oh, they cheered for him over buddy Papin and Enzo Francescoli and all these other players. Basil Bolli.
Basil Bolli. Rangers legend, Basil Bolli.
Him responding to a team talk is a thought, isn't it? The Waddler. Please say there's some Russia's footage out there of him trying to explain the team talk.
He's like, so you go in and the coach is like, oh, we are going to buy our way to the Champions League. And he's like, ah, why, aye, man?
I know, can you believe it?
He hasn't lost his accent at all, either. He hasn't lost it at all, no. Which is love. And of course, he went back to Sheffield Wednesday for 92-93 and won Player of the Year. Was it Player of the Year? Was it PFA? No, it was Player of the Year because Paul McGrath was PFA Player of the Year.
I always think with our American friends, because our American friends think we all talk with this posh sort of plummy accent, Rory.
Like, they do.
Can we just get them to watch like Boys from the Black Stuff or Aquidzai Pet or Biker Grove or something just to prove that no.
Biker Grove. I just think those three programs you mentioned. Nobody listening has the faintest idea what you're talking about.
I know. That's the whole point.
We do. There you go.
No, we could just get them to watch the Geordie Shore and just despair.
Geordie
Shore. Because like I once saw, right, you see all these this shite. There's the build. There's another loss on this tape for them. Very strange.
Yes.
Oh man, that's with three losses now.
I know. But you see all these like fucking bollocks polls on Lad Bible and stuff like that, or Unilad or whatever it was, going the sexiest accent in the UK. Who voted the Geordie accent to be the sexiest accent in the UK? You can't understand the fucking any of them. They go around in real life outside with subtitles on.
Knowing how our American friends feel about Jersey Shore, and it's basically the same show but set in Newcastle, they should like Geordie Shore. Should have been the key phrase in that. Oh, Kid Jensen's back repping.
Yes. Oh my goodness me! What is Brutus wearing there? Ooh, ducky.
I think be him being labelled at 273. That's quite generous.
Is it WrestleMania 1 that they have he's got his match at WrestleMania 1 against Son of Bruno, but they do the.
It's Bubble Butt.
He's got an interview. It's Johnny V talking, and then all of a sudden he goes, tell him Brutus. And he gets stage fright and just goes, and then walks off.
Yes, that's right.
it's the best promo you ever did.
Dynamite, the caption said there. I might have to watch WrestleMania. Oh, early lad on commentary for this one. Good place for starters here, I must say. Cool, yes. Okay, that's impressive. I don't mind Brutus, you know.
It wasn't bad.
No, there is a Brutus Beefcake tape lurking in the vaults for me to do at some point, so.
It's also a Cardinal Lou Albano one as well. That'll be... I was thinking you'll need to get that one out of the way fairly soon, Rory, because you can't if you leave it to everybody else to choose, that will be the series finale for Senior Video, and you just can't have that.
Yeah, could pencil in November 2027, finally round up with Captain Lou Albano.
You could absolutely do a chicken salad crossover with that. Get Sean or Logan on, because that's not going to be any great shit.
That could work. Yeah, we could. Ben, you heard it here first.
Yeah. A salad senior video hybrid, I like it.
Just the fact, I think it's only fair we subject the boy kid to it.
Senior salad.
And Mr. Crossland. Senior salad. Are we going back to the kebab shop again here?
Yeah, when that has to be one of the most pointless questions in history when they say, do you want the salad on this? Look at me.
Thing is, you always say yes, though, don't you? Because there's just that tiny little thing at the back of your ABV adult head thinking, oh, yes, if I have a sprig of brown lettuce on this, it will make it healthy.
it's one of these things.
That's just me, but yes.
I've come in to ask for at least a good £2 or £3 of questionable meat that I can see in the background is sweating. do you think that I'm going to put that in my body? Do you think I'm going? If I'm choosing to put that in my body, I'm not. You know, I'm in no mood to have salad at all. I'm in more of a mood to drink the sauce you're going to put on it than have a salad.
It's not going to fucking happen, is it?
This isn't bad.
To drink the sauce.
See, Brutus yeah. is a But this is a what if, right? What if he never had that the parasailing accident?
It makes you wonder, because he was going to win the Intercontinental title in 1990, and that would have been something, because Kerry Von Erich was clearly just a placeholder, as was shown by the fact that he lost back a couple of months later. I don't think that would have happened for Beefcake. It really does make you wonder.
Was he going to win it at SummerSlam 88 as well, before the Warrior?
I think that's at least an urban legend, if not an urban myth, but I have heard that, yeah.
Well, it was, if I remember rightly, that was the set match, wasn't it, before, and then he got injured. Story of
Outlaw Ron Bass with the big X, yeah.
Yes.
Just, because it's like, you hear the Scott and Justin talking about it on the Mothership, and you can see him get, as the years go on, he gets better, and he's always one of the more, as soon as he turns at WrestleMania 3, he's always one of the more popular guys on the roster.
Yeah, yep.
And then all of a sudden, that's him. He's out for 2 years, and he comes back, and a guy shouts him to kill himself in his first promo back.
In this very city, no less.
Yeah, where did it all go wrong, Mr. Best?
Very good.
I think when you're at the point when you think Hulk Hogan's gone, I think that's the tactic.
I suppose Starrcade 94 is a chilling glimpse into what could have been, though.
But then he was reasonably popular as the Booty Man as well. Although that might have something to do with having Kimball on his arm.
do you reckon?
I think so. The more you think about it, it's more a bit of Sebo Marmero thing there. They're more cheering Kimberly Page.
I always say about Beefcake at that time. I say you don't see very often in many forms of entertainment or sport or life, but the moment when he gets revealed as the masked man, that, you know, that's the exact point when you know WCW is falling off the cliff. They've been, you know, be giving you very good to very good wrestling up to that point, and then 95 happens, Starrcade 94 and 95 happens, and it's not till the NWO come along where things get back to any kind of normality.
WCW 95 is fucking rough sauce, man. It really fucking is.
Yeah.
That is a tough road to hoe, that one. I mean, those pay-per-views are rotten. Pick up a little bit towards the end of the year. You've got Full Brawl. You've got that excellent Mero, Johnny Bad, I should say, versus Pillman match. And you've got the big tag match at Havoc 95. But otherwise, it's fucking hell, they're hard to get through.
There we go. We've got Jenny back now by praising Halloween Havoc 95.
Oh, I mean, obviously, the King of the Road match is excellent. But, you know.
Look, you know as well as I do, Jenny was with us 20 minutes ago. Eamon Bannon, guys, Eamon Bannon.
When we watched Dingy, when we watched the King of the Road match with Jenny, I mean, it was fine. I mean, it is what it is. See if you don't take it seriously, it's actually quite a fun watch. If you don't take it, I have seen worse.
I really have seen
absolutely.
Worse.
Absolutely, we've seen worse on this fucking tape. There we go.
Oh, beat down after the match.
Nice little sequence there. Yeah, that was all right, wasn't it? Again, I've seen worse. Some nice bumping by Dynamite there, and I thought Brutus worked reasonably hard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long he'd been. I don't know how long Brutus had been wrestling before. I don't pretend to know much about his pre-WWF career. But, I mean, he had somebody in there that obviously knew what they were doing. So he was very... he held his end of the bargain up well. That was all right.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfectly watchable match.
Perfectly acceptable wrestling, as Scott Keith would say in Extreme Warfare Revenge 2.0.
Yes. Then your wrestler hits a stun gun. Remember when that was Steve Austin's finisher?
Oh.
Yes, I've played EWR. I'm sure you're already long since worked out. Far too many hours of my life lost to playing EWR 2.0. And yes, I'm very tempted to download it again right now. Of course I am.
Rory, I think this is something we're going to need to do in Twitch at some point.
I'll play a whole EWR year.
Fantasy
Royal
Book.
Rumble 2 Armageddon. Yes.
I remember I was building up to a big WrestleMania main event. Now this is in 2000 and when was I think this was in 2010 or 2011.
John Stoddard needs to finish this up.
I was going to say last batch, boys.
2010 or 2011, I was building up to a big WrestleMania main event of a Texas death match between Austin and The Undertaker.
Oh, my, okay.
Because I wanted to have the two Texans and a Texas death match. And I was going to pretend that it was in Texas.
Yeah, because you can't actually say the venue, dear.
Yeah.
So we've got Bruno on commentary here. So
I misspelled Bruno Sammartino, which would tell you his graces with the company at that time. Well, Bobby were bring us.
Yeah.
So when exactly do you think Bruno would have mentioned the condition of the Bulldog and the Dynamite Kid?
Good conditioning, Vince.
As soon as they walked out the curtain.
Is that a movie star?
So is this Allentown? Listen, no, it seems a bit too big for Allentown.
This is from Poughkeepsie, New York.
Oh, right, okay. I was going to say, if it was in Allentown, we would all need to greet Peter. And he would then send us greetings from Allentown.
Hey.
Somebody I'll be very happy to greet.
Bundy moves
quite quick for the big man. with the fascination with the big men, and again going back to the when they first started the reboot on the Mothership, Bundy and Stud were in prominent roles and they teamed for quite a while. I'm surprised they didn't give them a run with the tag titles, but then you've got an abundance of tag team.
Oh, something went wrong. I think I was meant to catch it there. Yeah, because Stud was doing, this is shortly after WrestleMania 2, Stud was doing absolute bog all at this point.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, doesn't he disappear after this? We don't see him again until, well, Rumble 89.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Because he's not Mania 3.
No, he's not. No, he's away before.
No, he's gone. He's gone by then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For another man with three.
That decent a shape. He seems like, I always just thought he was a tall guy, but he's also a fat bastard, but he's not that. He's not toned. He's not like the Bulldogs or anything, but he's, you know, fairly flat tummied.
And he's another man with three stars on his tights.
Nothing on the old romp, though.
No.
So I don't think it counts.
He's not his hometown on his bottle.
He's got his hometown on his arse. He's got his own hometown.
Where is Big John Studd from? He should have Butler on his bum. Butler, Pennsylvania. There you go.
I didn't know that. That's where
your
he's from.
Knowledge.
He's from Butler, Pennsylvania.
That's a great name for a place, Butler. It's actually spelled B-U-T-L-E-R.
It is?
Yes, my lord. Okay. I want to live there, I've decided. I want to live in Butler, PA.
He would have Butler on his butt. I mean, why not? You've missed opportunity.
This stuff's too easy.
Huge missed opportunity.
Free hits are free hits for a reason, you know? You've got to take them.
Chucking away to myself here, it's terrible. Do you guys ever remember that it was going around on Facebook for a while, that the guy that looked like a thumb, because he was just poked his head out at the bottom of a picture and you couldn't see his ears, and he did look like a thumb?
Yes, I have seen this, yes.
King Kong, yeah, Bundy looks like a thumb.
He If his finisher was called Thumb War, then that would complete it, wouldn't it? So I'm always useless at Thumb War, you know. I'm never quick enough.
Nah, I was no good.
No, what I would do is I would always stick my thumb up and then go for the no contest.
Oh, yeah, I've done this too.
Very dissension here, boys.
Big buckle hit.
Bobby needs to sort this shit out.
Okay, how did that match end? I missed that one completely.
I think it was a DQ because they threw. Through the ref down, yeah.
Yep. And now it gets the old dissension to round us off. Are we going to see the Bulldogs at the end of this tape? Their own one? What do you think? Somehow I doubt it.
What a normal concept that would be.
And Arthur Morowitz gets a credit.
We finish in 50 seconds, so I think we're going to... We get a shot at the end. The moral. We get special thanks to Vince McMahon. So, yeah. Gentlemen, it's customary to do a few awards for this one. So then, what was our rewind, our best match? I think we all know.
Yeah, the Moondogs match, obviously.
No, Dynamite Kid, Brett's pass. There we are.
Dynamite
and Brett, yeah.
Yeah.
Special thanks to Vince McMahon. Well, that's nice. Fast forward, our worst match. Maybe just mention.
I think, seeing as we didn't actually talk about any part of it.
not that you want to fast forward it on this recording, though, of course, Ben.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to hear the wonders of Eamon Bannon and Arthur Olmerston.
What's our pause, our most striking visual?
Oh, it's got to, for me, it's got to be Brakus.
Yeah.
In the gym.
Just anybody not named Gene, Dynamite, or Bulldog in the gym, I would say.
They made themselves famous. And let's rank this tape, much of it that we actually saw. Where does this one fall into the four categories? Is it a buy? Is it a rent? Is it a bargain bin? Is it a wipe?
I would go rent, maybe buy, if I was feeling generous.
I would go, I think I've used this cop-out one before. The sort of the in between the bargain bin, your Blockbuster's going out of business, and your rent's now becoming the bargain bin sort of one. I just found the decision to put three matches where they lost and then finish the tape on a team that's not the British Bulldogs was very
short. Yeah, indeed, contractual obligation it screams, but there was enough good stuff here to make this one. I was going to say a bargain bin because I actually did buy this one from the bargain bin, as I mentioned earlier, but it's probably a rent. Dynamite Kid versus Brett, you can't go wrong with that. You did get to see a lot of what made the Bulldogs such a great tag team. Okay, three defeats and not even a closing goodbye from them at the end. Questionable, but you come to expect the unexpected on these tapes. But from a quality perspective, I think this one's a solid mid-tier, so it's a rent from me. Which brings us to the end of another edition of Senior Video. All that remains is to thank my two guests, Callum McDougall and Ben Locke, the real British Bulldogs.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us back. Yes.
Ben, I'll come to you first for the plugs because this one is going to take a while. It normally does. What pies have you got your finger in this festive season?
Okay, I've got many pies and podcasts on there. So there will be a December edition of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. Shut up, laughing you. See, I can't get it seriously now. So Wrestling's Chicken Salad, we are reviewing In Your House D-Generation X because we know December to December's out there, but we did that like 2 years ago on the Up for Special Relations and the scars are still real, goddammit. I'm not going
you
back
don't
there
want to
for a while.
Through that again, Ben. No.
Yeah. And also for Popcorn Chicken Salad for December, we are also live watching that 1996 classic Santa with Muscles. So, get yourself ready for that one.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Only $2.49 on Amazon Prime, gents, by the way.
Santa with muscles.
Yeah.
Have you bought it for doing it?
I have rented it, yes.
Oh my goodness, Ben, you're suffering for your art.
Oh yes.
So both, so this tape and Santa with muscles are a rent.
Hey.
Yeah, but one is a rent through choice.
Yes, indeed. Anything else to plug, Ben?
We'll talk about special relations later, but I think that's it for now.
And over to you, Callum.
As we've mentioned a few times, we're all in the special relations, so we'll defer. I'll defer that one to you, Rory. The podcast legend you can bring us home more eloquently than I can. We've got the NWA Croc and Roll. We're back on timeline and we're powering through February 1986. So we've got that to look forward to. Myself and Ben were on the first two episodes. One has been released and one might be released by the time you hear this. If not, it has been recorded due to come out of PTBN's Pedestal podcast. We live watched Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage. I drew a blank there. Of course, Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage, because it's Sean's idea. And Punk Cena from Money in the Bank 2011. Will those matches stay on the PTBN pedestal? You'll need to listen to find out. And we've got we're back on the live watches with NWA. Again, you'll have heard that it'll have happened by the time you hear this. However, NWA Hard Times 2, Hard Times 2, was on the 4th of December. That is now going to be in the archive on YouTube. Place to Be Nation, all one word, on YouTube. Please follow us there. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/placetobenation. PTBN Live on Facebook and at PTBN YouTube on Twitter. And it's only just dawned on me now that we've got all these different platforms and they've all got different usernames. So that's not very helpful. But yeah. So that's it for me on that one.
Yep. So just to wrap up from me, the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast, do look us up wherever you get your podcasts. Just dropped no fewer than 3 shows looking at the WWF in November 2001. We needed every golden drop of them. We've got the Rebellion pay-per-view. We've got the Survivor Series pay-per-view. We review the Invasion angle, a very popular one in this household. And we also look at the Monday Night Raw the day after Survivor Series, when everything began again. We have our end-of-year review show coming up in a couple of weeks and our standard December program too. Also on the same platform, the Indies 20 Years Ago podcast is still going strong. And on here, as mentioned, you can hear us on the Special Relations. Our brand new show will be dropping on Christmas Day, I believe. It will be another live watch. And that one's going to be your archetypal Christmas party, shall we say. Nobody's going to bring a photocopier with them, are they, Ben?
No, not this time, no. No. Not this time.
Well, can I just say, you opened up the Christmas special with that line last year.
Did I?
You actually did, yes. I threw to you and that's the very first thing you said.
That does sound like something I would say, in fairness.
Very, very you. You need to come up with a different line this time. Okay. Do watch for that. That will be the Special Relations dropping on Christmas Day here on the Place to Be Nation podcast. All that remains is to say thank you so much for listening to all the senior video shows throughout the year. A great change of pace for me, being able to watch older stuff, but in 2021, if that makes any sense. And a thank you again to all my guests this year, and especially Ben Locke and Callum McDougall for joining me on this show. We will be back in 2022, but for now, British Bulldogs, we have sort of seen your video. Good night, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
No crime. I've had mistakes. Curtain calls.